Hey, hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
All through my wandering years, I always said I was biding my time. All alone in the dark, I faced my fears, and no other heart would come to mind.
Everybody, thank you for joining us. It's Amy and Inez on Psychics Gone Wild. For those of you who are regular listeners, I have been off the air for a while, busy doing other things, and we were trying out different combinations. But I am thrilled to be back, and tonight I am sharing the airwaves with Inez. I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about herself and the work she does, and then we will get started. So, Inez, welcome to the show. I'm excited to be sharing the airwaves with you.
I'm really excited about this, too, Amy. And I'm a psychic, and I've gotten my gifts from my dad's side of the family. I specialize in love and relationships and animal intuitive, but I am just pleased to be here and look forward to doing some readings tonight. And I've also been thinking a lot about guides and how people can reach me for readings through nrgpsychics.com at the rates page. But I've been thinking about guides and angels and people opening to their own psychic abilities. That's something that I really enjoy helping people with. And how about you? Is there?
Yeah, that is so important. And that's what, you know, Inez and I haven't really even gotten a chance to talk so much because I was traveling through the mountains and there was even no cell phone service. So my, I guess I've always been intuitive and it's been very interesting. In 2011, my husband died and all heaven and nature started singing. And it's just been a wild ride since then. My real areas of, you know, interest is really just making this freely accessible to everybody. You know, there's so much. I'm a hospice volunteer, so I do a lot of work helping people accept death. And it's interesting because on this ride up to Kentucky from Florida, it was me, my boss, who I've known for many years, and his Southern Baptist mother. My boss is gay, which I only throw in because the Southern Baptist mother in the back seat. So I know I've learned part of my journey since all of this has happened is to learn the Bible more and really figure out what people are saying and build a bridge between all this stuff because we're really all talking about the same thing. We're talking about love and we're talking about energy that's freely available. You know, we just need to lean into the energy and the vibrations, and it's really what all of this is about. And I noticed in this conversation with the Southern Baptist mother, who had a lot of preconceived notions about a lot of this, she also had a lot of questions. I was talking about my hospice work, and she had a lot of questions that, you know, were really perplexing to her, like, if we're forgiven, and again, she's using Christian words, if we're forgiven of our sins, why is there judgment? So I was able to explain to her the concept of, which really isn't covered so much in the Bible, of a life review and how, you know, the difference between, you know, what forgiveness really means, not like we believe this and this whole, you know, and it was such a fascinating conversation. We got out of the car, we were in the ladies' room, and she's like, I have learned so much from you. She was genuinely grateful. And that's my big thing, is to just, and I think it's similar to what you're talking about. I really focus on trying to bring commonality amongst all these different schools of thought. There's just one thing we have in common. We have a thread in which where we can relate to each other instead of alienate. And I was, I've been so blessed since Keith died, and I've met so many, you know, people who are, you know, I guess movers, and, you know, people who have written books, and Raymond Moody, who was one of the forerunners in the near-death experience, and I were having a conversation, and we were talking about how the New Agers, or whatever you want to call them, are becoming just as fundamental and narrow-minded and bigoted and all of those things that we throw at, you know, the Westboro Baptist Church. So we all really need to look at our words and our heart and just really work with the energy, you know. And it doesn't matter what, you know, it doesn't matter so much what it's called. It's interesting because I said Greg's in the chat room. And, you know, he brought up a topic of what we were talking about at dinner, because I'm actually going to work with Dr. Edgar Mitchell in July, who was one of the astronauts who was very adamant about the fact that there are other life forms out there. And we're even starting to have problems with that. I know a lot of the UFO people, they don't want us calling the ETs aliens, because they think you know, and if we're going to sit there and argue about what we are going to call them, you know what, you know, we are missing the ride. We are.
It kind of increases that division.
It's just more division. So now we can't call them aliens. You know, I just offended the ETs because I called them aliens because they're not aliens because we're all sharing. You know, it's like enough already. Let's stop with the separation and, you know, stop
feel
with
the
connection.
Separation.
Stop trying to be so special. And it happens everywhere. You know, I go to Course in Miracles class and we're supposed to be learning about the special and, you know, the ego and how we use the ego to alienate and miss all that. And we do the same thing, you know, and we're going to do all this stuff as our, while we're having this body experience. But if we can just be aware of the impact of what, it's not like, oh, don't do that because it's bad. Look at the impact of what it does. It creates separation, and it prevents, you know, it prevents magical, mystical, you know, wondrous experiences from happening. So Greg's telling us that EBEs is the current PC term for the EBEs, meaning extra biological entities. So it's interesting because we were talking at dinner because apparently Jackie Gleason, for those of our listeners who are older and know, you know, and he used to always talk about his wife to the moon, you know, to the moon. I guess he was really good friend. He was very into paranormal and EBEs, but kept it quiet because it can be polarizing. But apparently him and Nixon went down to Homestead Air Force Base, and Nixon, I don't know, something about Jackie Gleason and Nixon, and people are saying that Eisenhower met with the EBTs, and I know now Eisenhower's great-granddaughter. You know, there's so much out there, and there's just so much, and when you listen a little bit past the differences, you'll see we're talking about the same thing. You know, we're just really looking for the same thing. We're just trying to find our way and make sense of our experience. So that's my big thing. And then as far as the, that's really what Awakening Clear is about. This is a really long answer to this question you asked. And then my other Facebook page, I've gotten really, because people are so afraid of, I saw it because my husband was so afraid to die. And then interestingly, right after my husband died, my brother got sick and I helped him get to the other side. And he was so fearful of death and was so unprepared. And even, you know, I'm a hospice volunteer, but hospice focuses all on the physical aspects of dying. And, you know, they'll throw some happy thoughts on it and say some words and stuff, but it makes no sense. And then I see bereaved people going to grief counselors. Makes no sense. They talk to their ministers. They give some dogma. Makes no sense. And people are just wandering around, like, not being able to make sense of it. And the best way to make sense of it is just talk about it. Talk about it.
I worked with the elderly quite a bit. I'm a geriatric mental health specialist. And when you spoke about reminiscence and life review, I think you spoke about life review, but I just find that both life review and reminiscence are so important. And I think oftentimes with older adults that they're, especially if they've been kind of disconnected from spirit for a long time, a lot of times you'll see that they're coming back into a place where they're more open to spirit, whatever that means for them.
Whatever that means, exactly. A lot of times it has to do with unfinished business, you know, family secrets, because so many of, you know, the elderly, you know, people that are in their 80s and 90s now grew up in a time where secrets were a big part, and, you know, there's stories that need to be told. So, you know, it's really just a matter. I try to explain to people that when someone's dying, it's sort of like a wedding, you know, and if we behave the way the average family member behaves when at a wedding, we get kicked out. But, you know, we really need to be present for the person. And that even means if they start, you know, and I see this a lot because they'll, angels and, spirit guides and deceased loved, you know, all of the above, you know, religious, Jesus, all of these people are coming, you know, are coming down to assist in the transition. And, you know, the hospice social worker and the family members will be like, oh, that's the ceiling fan, you know. Even if it is the ceiling fan, what if for a moment we all stayed in the same, in communion with the person who was transitioning and just pretended it was their wife that died before them or something? We could just turn it into just a wonderful healing experience. And the way we do that is just by starting a conversation. You know, we don't have to chant or, you know, or ring bells or open, you know, we don't have to do anything. We just have to be present and hold space with the person who is transitioning. So anyway, I'm interested in what, and we do have some callers in the queue and we are going to do some readings, but I'm interested a little bit in, because one of the things that I noticed in my death and dying work is when, you know, people losing pets, and people are so connected to their pets. So I'd be interested if you could talk a little bit about the animal work that that you do.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one other thing about older adults and my father, because he was a real influence to me as a psychic. And I remember in the last 6 months of his life, he was starting to have visions. And, you know, the hospital, of course, didn't understand that at all. He actually thought I was, like, at the foot of his bed and there with him. And, I was here. But I think in maybe an alternate reality that I was there. And I just wish sometimes people could be a little bit more open to spiritual experiences that older adults are having.
Yeah, we've really gotten cut off from any kind of spiritual experience because I don't think we understand, and I really think this is where science is going to help us, in that, that, you know, spiritual, for a lot of people think spirituality is an alternative to religion, but really what it is the study of the soul, you know, and we all have souls. Regardless of what we believe in, we all have souls, and a certain part of the transition is going to be universal just by virtue of us having a soul, regardless of what our individual beliefs are. And I've heard so, and it's funny because I'm very vocal on Facebook, and so many people, first everyone thought I had lost my mind, but then so many people from, like, my friends from high school, people I used to work with or something, will catch me. It's usually very late at night, 1 or 2 in the morning, and they'll tell me about experiences they have, because so many of us, we don't live around our aging parents, and we don't live in community with our family anymore. We live in community with people that have the same money or interests or things like that. I've heard so many stories of people saying that they were visited by their dying loved one. And this is before they, you know, that they would have premonitions that they were on, or they would have actual visitations. I've had people tell me, I think I'm losing my mind, but in the hours before my mother's death, I was in New York, she was in California, and I saw her sitting at the foot of my bed telling me she loved me and that it was all going to be okay. Now, the soul, if we just think about it in terms of an energetic form, and that energy cannot die, has the capacity and to project to the other side of the world and make itself known. And we can, for, you know, when we go and we find out someone's dying, we go check the flights, and it's $1,500, and we've got 5 hours to get there. You know, we don't have to get on a plane necessarily. We can take our higher selves to that person by raising our vibration. And we can do that, the same thing with the people who have departed. We don't have to have, you know, we don't necessarily, well, certainly I think that because it involves, you want to be able to experience it, and that's where mediums come in so handy. But on an ongoing basis, we can raise our vibration and visit the departed, just as the departed can lower their vibration and come down and visit us. And that's all science. That isn't religion. That's science. The military, it's science. And I think that that's really going to help people accept these kinds of things without violating whatever their existing belief system is. You know, it's like finding out the world wasn't flat. It's a transformation, isn't it? It's just transformation, and it's building of a knowledge base. Nothing that people already believe is wrong. It's just incomplete. It's incomplete, and it's just a matter of building on what we know instead of like, oh, well, I'm not going to believe in this anymore. Now I'm going to believe in this. That's just a fad. That's just like, you know, that's...
And the black and white just, thinking, you know, that there can't be... You know, sometimes there's layers to things. Or there's a little bit of truth in different areas, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the truth requires everything. We don't have time to tell the whole truth, but if you only tell certain parts of the truth in an incomplete form, it allows someone to create a thought that's untrue. So it's really just a matter of... just sort of opening we've really lost our sense of wonder. You know, we've really lost it. It's like, you know, we've really lost our sense of wonder. If you go back all through time, you know, even to go through all through the Bible, that's supposed to be the book that says we can't do all this stuff, it was full of all sorts of unexplainable miracles, dead people talking to live people, angels, all of the things that we talk about. This is nothing new. We're really just returning to a period of time, or, you know, we're really just returning to our roots. I mean, people, you know, and with the new things that we've learned. So that's really and I think that's why Blog Talk has been such a important tool, and even just the internet, because we're getting, you know, like-minded communities, building like-minded communities and building people. But really, it's important that we just reach out to everybody about this, because people are suffering.
Be the bigger people, you know.
Suicide. More people, more baby boomers than ever are committing suicide, you know, and if they only knew. That committing suicide really is, it's not like, oh, it's a sin, but it's really like, no big deal. You're going to be on the other side. You're still going to be, you know, so much is still going to be the same. And
you'll come back around.
Go ahead. Yeah. Come back around, whether we're going to, you know, whatever words you, you know, whatever words you assign to that. But if we get so caught up in reincarnation or no reincarnation, or, you know, and you know, I started thinking in terms of, well, maybe there isn't reincarnation. We just have one great, big, long, eternal life, and sometimes we vibrate really high, and so high that we don't create mass, and then sometimes we vibrate low and create mass and have a body. And, it's really not, do you believe in this? Or, you know, do you like saying, well, do you believe in, you know, do you believe in air? I don't believe in air.
Yeah,
you know,
or do you believe in rain?
In this? You know, it's not a matter of, it's not up for believing or not. They're just, you know, universal laws that we're just using all sorts of different words for. But anyway, so... Again, if you could tell us a little bit about the animals, and I think we do have quite a few.
Yeah, oh, the animals, I'm sorry.
And then I'm going to try to catch up in the chat room. This has sort of gone in a lot of different directions, but I think Greg's doing a nice job in the appreciate Greg for manning the chat room here and being our host in the chat room. But the animals.
Well, one of the wonderful things I think about spring I'm blessed to live in an area that has really an incredible amount of wildlife, is that I find that there's so many, you know, wild animal teachers that come to us that may bring in signs or symbols. And for me, it's been, I've had some interactions lately with hummingbirds coming up, and I feel like that is about, you know, kind of moving my vibration up a bit. And to me, the deer represent freedom and also a kind of tenacity, because they can survive, you know, with us, but also away from us. So I think it's important if you have a special connection with animals, and you want to work with guides, you might want to see if there's a spirit animal that's coming through for you. And just open to it. You don't need to have somebody rigidly tell you how to integrate that into your life. You can integrate that wisdom into your life and, you know, start to evaluate those signs, symbols, and synchronicities. And I also see that our pets are just wonderful, wonderful empaths. You know, cats have this kind of amazing wisdom, amazing spirits. They're very ancient, and yet there's a certain calmness they project. And I think that communicating with your animal is really about opening to intuition. With dogs, you know, they've been doing some psychic experiments, and I'm not into animals being experimented on, don't get me wrong, but one of the things that they found is, like, when people are thinking about coming home from work, the minute they have that thought, you know, and say somebody goes and picks up their keys, puts them in their purse, that oftentimes turns out to be a cue for the dog to come by the door and wait for somebody to come home. So I've always had a very strong sense, because I get a lot of messages coming into me from my dog, that animals are extraordinarily psychic. But science is starting to prove that out now, to be so. And you know, I do believe that oftentimes people's closest relationship, particularly if they're alone, oftentimes older or people that have a chronic illness, sometimes their pet will be the being in the universe that they are most connected to. Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, and I've seen that happen so often, just in the hospice environment when my husband was sick, just through the service pets that come through, you know, the hospitals and hospices,
mm-hmm.
Because they do really teach us what we're striving for is, you know, unconditional love. Their love is unconditional, and they have the gift of forgiveness. So, I mean, when we struggle, how do I forgive this, you know, my mother, she did this and this and the sorrow and the pain, you know, look to the animals. You know, we can really learn a lot about forgiveness from animals.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you forgive, is how the animal, so you stay out a little too late and you leave the animal, you know, stays an extra 3 or 4 hours without going outside. Sure, they come home, you know, they're all agitated or whatever, when until the situation is rectified, and then it is over as if it never happened. So I think that we definitely can learn an awful lot about living an intuitive-based life, which is what this is,
mm-hmm.
based on, you know, living intuition, living out of intuition, as opposed to living all based on these thoughts that we've created, some may or may yes. not be true, from how animals, you know, especially the domesticated animals that do interact with humans on a daily basis, because they must be like, what in the world, you know?
Well, horses, I think, are very fascinating teachers because they mm-hmm. teach us so much about trust and about fear, because they are, mm-hmm. you know, a herd animal, and about how to work together in groups. And, you know, I've had the privilege of imprinting baby horses, you know, where you get the amniotic mm-hmm. fluid on you and they recognize who you are and they trust you more. Like they have the smell of their mother on you then, and but horses are very, very wise. You know, some people think, oh, you know, horses are stupid. It's not so. They actually are very, very bright. And I find, you know, I think with the older adults, I tend to see the cats and dogs or birds as a focus. But I'm thinking with kids and sometimes with young adults, that horses can really teach them a lot about strength and having respect for something that's, you know, someone that's much larger than you.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly. As far as,
how
you know,
to care for somebody else.
Because they're not aggressive, you know, they're big mm-hmm. and they're strong and they're powerful, but, you know, rarely do they act aggressively. It really is a beautiful thing. I mean, and that's the thing. You don't have to go get this certification and that certification and all of these and all of these things and spend thousands and thousands of dollars. The messages are
right out
are
there.
Everywhere, you know, and you really have to look at, you know, and certainly through getting the readings and things like that, you can see some of the animals, especially some of the animals that we think are like yucky, in a different light. You know, I got a mm-hmm. animal totem reading and I was a armadillo and I was like, what? And I live in Florida. Armadillo are not very well respected. You know, they are, mm-hmm. you know, but when I got the reading about their, you know, how they protect themselves and, mm-hmm. you know, and you just see them in a, you see them in a different light. So if you can see something like an armadillo in a different, you know, it teaches us to see those sort of things in human character, you know, in human mm-hmm. characteristics. And that's how we can break down a lot of, this, you know, this fever that's going, you know, people are living fearfully and unprepared, you know, and it doesn't have to be big change, you know, it doesn't have
right.
to be huge changes. It can just be gentle shifts in perception, enough of those and enough of those. And, you know, in the not-so-distant future, you wake up and you're not the same person you were and you're not afraid. And you're not sick. And
I've given up television, you know, and for a couple of years, except for, you know, movies that I download. But just giving up not watching the news
mm-hmm.
and not being pushed in. Sometimes I think as a society we often get pushed into these places of fear or control. And I think if we take back, you know, kind of our spirit and focus
right.
on...
Or having to make judgments like, that's the villain, that's the victim,
mm-hmm.
that's good, that's bad. And with not enough information... things that are much, much more complex than that. I got rid of my TV
yes.
as well because I live oceanfront and I would be, it would be a beautiful day out, and there's the ocean, and I could see the waves and hear the roars, and I would be laying on the couch watching the Kardashians or something ridiculous when there was this ocean out there. I said, "This, enough of this. I'm getting rid of my TV. If there's something that I need to watch because, you know, I've heard about it or something, I have friends that have TVs, that important, I can go check into a hotel room." But it was just causing me, you know, it's just little things like that. And then you see that your, you know, your life is different. And then last week I was just, you know, I work from home, sit there, and then sometimes I would work sitting on my couch, and I noticed my posture was getting bad. I wasn't moving. You know, I was having a lot of aches and pains, and I got rid of my desk chair, and now I sit working on a yoga ball. And it's just so much. It just changes.
Oh,
five little tiny, you know, we need to, well, like some people have waited for so patiently, but it's just little tiny things, little tiny things. And then some things, you know, and if it makes you feel better, then do that. If it's not the right thing, then go on.
Try something else, right?
But really, life's just a great big experiment. There's so many things that we can do to influence the outcome of our experiment here with the body. But we give all our power, you know, we give all our power away. So really, that I think, and that's the thing where we're both on the same page is, you know, I'm just dedicated to having people, you know, take their power back in meaningful ways. People think that they have power because they post their outrage on Facebook or because they go occupy something or they get a bumper sticker, and it's like, yes. But no, it doesn't change the way you feel. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the way you feel. You know, if it's not changing the way you feel, time to just try the next thing. So anyway, so we've had one person here from, I have my mermaid cards here, and I don't know what sort of readings you are going to do.
I'm using my angel tarot deck.
Perfect. So we've got a good number of people with their hands up, and one of them was here from before the show even started. He's been patiently listening to us babble for 51 minutes here. So that's 631. So we will see. I'm going to ask the readers if they've got a specific question, and then we'll switch back and forth. We're going to go 631. Are you on the air? 631? Okay, well, I guess 631. We'll try them again in a minute. They probably now we'll go down here to some other people who have been waiting for quite a long time. I've got 2478 numbers, but this first one is going to be 478293. I'm going to unmute you there. 478293. Hi, how are
you? Yes, I am. Can you hear me? Good. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Good. Good. Okay. Thanks for calling.
We're from Georgia.
Who are we speaking to? Who are we speaking to?
I do have a specific question, and it was, I just want to ask about like relationships, my relationship.
We seem to have two people talking at once.
Do what?
I think I heard two people talking at once.
I don't know.
Was there somebody?
It's just me right now.
Okay. What is your name and birthday?
Emily. My birthday is 11/29/1993.
Okay,
November 29th.
And what's your question, dear?
I just want to ask about, like, my relationship with my boyfriend right now. Things have been kind of shaky lately.
Let's see. I'm getting the sense that this is a relationship where he's been hot and cold.
Hot and cold?
Hot and cold, yeah. Like, I feel like he's pulled back attention-wise. And that sometimes he comes back in very close, and then as you've been together for when things are going really well, and then he has a tendency to pull back, or for there to be, to step back from the relationship. Is that right?
And yeah, it kind of is like that.
Mm-hmm.
But do you feel like I should stay with him? I mean, I love him and all, but I don't know.
Well, let's see what Amy thinks about that.
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. I was.
Oh, shall I keep going?
A call was beeping through. A call was beeping through, so I'm just sending them a quick message how to reach the show, and I'm going to pull from my mermaid cards here. When you first called in, I mean, I definitely feel a strong connect. I feel a strong connection between the two of you. I just feel like you haven't quite gotten the dance steps. You haven't really gotten the dance steps down, and neither of you are really comfortable speaking your truth.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, you kind of start doing this dance, you know, this push-pull dance, just because you don't know what else to do. It's really a matter of finding, you know, finding boundaries. And it's one of the problems that, as I'm shuffling the cards here, I'm just getting this strong message to just blurb this out here, is that, you know, we used to operate in a world of rules, you know, because we would be involved in organized religion, or there were cultural norms or whatever, and they told us how to behave, and we would just behave that way no matter how we felt. Now, a lot of the walls are coming down with that, but we still need boundaries. And we used to get our boundaries from either, you know, laws or religion or, you know, fear-based. We used to come up with fear-based boundaries. And now, as everything's changing, we really just need to define the boundaries and define the rules of engagement, not because there's rules, but just so everybody knows what the rules are, so they kind of know what to do. And that's what I really sense is going on here, is no one really knows that you're not giving each other enough information to understand how the other person, it's not how the other person's feeling, because it really doesn't matter how we feel, but what the other person's needs are, and what you can do to meet those needs or help them get their needs met. So one of the things that I would really urge you, as I continue to shuffle the cards, and plus they've been in the car with a lot of great energy. Anyway, go ahead.
Shall I talk for a little while? Will you shuffle?
Oh, yeah, well, I'm doing the cards.
Okay. So my sense of it is that there's a lot here about the relationship that you love. And I'm wondering, have you been together for more than a year?
Yeah, it's been like 2 years, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Almost.
And
what I don't know is whether I should stay with him or not.
What's making you? What is your gut telling you right now about him that's making you question staying?
That I'm supposed to stay with him, but my mind is telling me not to.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. So everything that's been going on, past stuff.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm getting that there is. That you feel kind of compelled to stay with him. You feel like it's hard to break the connection, and yet a part of you is saying, this doesn't feel right. I'm not happy here, and I don't know if I can truly trust him.
Yeah, that's about how it is.
And
interestingly, I cleansed the cards, and I pulled a card. And in my Doreen Virtue Mermaid card deck, and it's the card of a new dawn. the worst is behind you now, and positive new experiences are on the horizon. Now, that's an interesting card because I think it really speaks to, you know, what I was really feeling about the situation. When you see a new dawn, look at that two ways. It's either going to be you're going to see this relationship in a new light, and you're going to feel comfortable in it, or mm-hmm. you're going to make the decision to leave. One thing people forget a lot of times when they call in for readings from, you know, people who work with the energy is that you have free will. So regardless mm-hmm. of if heaven and nature and all the archangels and Jesus and all your dead relatives and everybody have see something for you, our free will, each of us can muck that up, you know, with our free will. So the card and the energy is telling me that you're definitely at a turning point. You know, mm-hmm. this, where the situation is right now is not sustainable. And so it's either going to be you are going to see him in a new light, and there's going to be new life breathed into the relationship, or mm-hmm. you are going to make the decision to leave. Now, I can't say, I mean, I have a sort of a gut feeling as to which one you're going to do, but I can't say what your free will is because you have, we're given free will so that we'll experience life. So do you want to pull a card for and see if...
I did pull a card. And what came up for me was from the Doreen Virtue Angel deck is the life experience card, which I think is very cogent here, because, you know, it's about that powerful revelation that leads to change. It's about really, I think that's right. I think that you're going to have the opportunity to truly communicate with each other at the heart level and make some decisions about what you truly both want for your individual paths and for your path together. You know, I think it's about really awakening to spirit and source and not feeling afraid or like you have to cling to this relationship. You may very much want to be in this relationship, and that's great, but don't see it as your only possibility.
Mm-hmm. And be willing to stand in the doorway for a little bit. You know, so often, especially when, you know, I'm a widow right now, and not having a man is a very uncomfortable, awkward, embarrassing thing to be, especially as a middle-aged woman. Sometimes we have to sit, you know, have to stand in the doorway. And honestly, in my voice, I'm hearing that that you're done with this relationship. And the card is saying that there's a new dawn. So you either need to change your mind about the relationship or grab your power, take action that reflects what your goal is. And your goal is to be happy and loved.
That's exactly it. Well, thank you, guys. I'm going to let y'all go so somebody else can get on this.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I appreciate you calling, Emily, and let us know. You know, feel free to call back. We have, all sorts of readers that have all sorts of gifts and perspectives on all the time. So feel free to call us back, and we'll go to the next caller who's also from 478. But that's 478. 3-4-2, and hold on,
that's
going a little bit slow.
Hi,
how are you tonight?
I'm good, how are you?
Melissa?
Yeah, it's like Melissa, but an E instead of an I.
Got it. Okay, what can we help you with tonight, Melissa?
Mine is kind of similar to the previous person. I'm kind of at a crossroads in my love life, and I'm just trying to figure out where I need to go from here.
Okay, when's your birthday?
It's September 8th, 1991.
Oh, okay. Inez, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So I have this sense, and I'm just curious, what is his birthday or the other person's?
Okay, I have one guy who is August 5th, and the other one, I don't remember it right now.
Okay. And I'm getting the sense that the one that you're not remembering right now is the newer person?
Old but new, yes, pretty much, yes.
Coming back after a long absence. Okay. And I feel like you're really having some questions about staying in the relationship with the first person. But I see you, you know, I do see that end of a difficult situation, and that I feel like you are coming into the light and finding, you know, answers here. Do you feel the need, like you have to make a choice at this point?
It's more like the one who I remembered his birthday, he and I have broken up in November. It was a terrible situation. Mm-hmm. And the newer man, he's in my life, you know, now, and he's willing to be everything that I need someone to be, but I'd have to cut off all contact with the ex. And, I mean, the ex still brings a lot of bad baggage and emotional stuff in my life, but it's really hard to, I don't know, let go.
So it's really
interesting because I pulled a card that says that it's playtime for you. So, you know, and play, a lot of times we think play of being frivolous and bad, you know, like we're wasting time and we should be, you know, working on, you know, creating this life, and especially at your age, a future, and, you know, find a husband and have kids and things like that. But it's important, so important to be honest. And the situation that you're in right now, where you're not ready to make a choice, is one that sets the stage for a lot of dishonesty, a lot of manipulation, and a lot of hurt. A lot of hurt feelings.
Oh,
and
that's crazy.
It's
just
not fair. Yeah, and you're going to end up, what's going to happen, what I'm feeling really strongly, is that you're not, if you don't come out and speak your truth, that I'm not ready to make a decision right now. I'm in playtime, meaning I'm just, you know, like children play to learn, discern, and things like that, that you are going to be, even though what you're doing is natural and to be expected, you're going to be put, you're going to lose both of them. You're going to be put in a bad light. You know, there's all sorts of words that come up, with women who engage in that kind of behavior, and it's not true. But if you're, if you manipulate and try to sneak around, you know, because you've still got this very strong connection to the first one, and while some of his, he might not be at the maturity level that you are, you know, there's still a connection and there's still an attraction, and when there's attraction, there's nothing you can do about it. So what I really think you need to do is be honest with this person and say, sorry, I really like you. I think you're a great guy. You have a lot to offer, but where I am in my journey right now, I cannot, I would not be being
Pedal
true
time.
To myself, and I would be setting the stage for, you know, someone to get hurt. But the person who's going to get hurt if you are not forthright about this is not going to be one of the two guys. It's going to be you. It's going to blow up and, you know, the B word or whatever, you know, and, you know, or there's a million other words that they come up for when women do things that they don't use when men do things. It is definitely your play time. So just be on it. You deserve to play. Play is not wasting time. Play is just a process of experimenting with learning what you like and what you don't like and what you need and what you don't need, what appeals to you and what does not appeal to you. So just be honest about that. And now I talk so much, Inez, I'm going to turn it back to you.
All right. And So I have the sense that there's things that you really enjoy about both of them.
Yes.
And go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's just I have been trying to be honest because in the past with the guy that the new guy, I haven't been. So I have been trying so hard to just tell him up front I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And we're in two separate states. So in July, he's flying me out to see him, and he expects me to make a decision then.
Okay. And
the decision can be I'm not ready. That is not fun. That's a decision. Decision like we were talking about, and I don't know if you were listening when we were just conversing, is we have been trained to just be so black and white about everything, but I'm not picking between the two of you is a decision, you know, and and people are, I have found in my life that the real truth is so rare in this day and age is that when someone speaks it, people are in awe of the truth. People are in awe and people are like, wow, you know, it's so rare because we try so hard to people please that it is going to make you more attractive to bachelor number two. It's not going to send him running.
What you just said about the honesty thing, I was thinking I'd been honest, but I really haven't because, I mean, I should have just told him I wasn't ready already. But I was just so afraid that I'd lose something that was that good if I did.
Are you ready to make this trip? How are you feeling about the trip?
Nervous, very nervous. But I'm excited to see him. I'm excited as well. I'm just nervous. I don't want to make a decision, but I would like to spend time with him.
Well, you can make a decision that you're not ready to make a decision. That's a decision. So just look at the source of the nervousness and address that because nervousness is energy and it's going to affect, you know, it definitely affects the outcome. And, you know, call back and, you know, call some of our other readers in the time between now and the time you make the trip and just, you know, just to get some food for thought. We do have a lot of callers in the queue, and our 661 who waited so patiently is back in. So, Melissa,
thank you so much. Y'all have a great day.
You know, call us back, and please let us know how it goes. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your night. Okay. So now we're going to go to – we've got quite a bit of people for this show having no warning.
Promo.
And Word travels fast. 661, you're there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay, great. I noticed in the chat room we had tried to pick you up before and you might have been away for the phone. You had waited so patiently that we did finally get to you first. So this is Ina. Jethro is not on tonight. I think he'll be on again. No, it's hard to – it's just impossible to keep track of all this stuff. It just moves so quick. But
it's okay. I spoke with him earlier, and he said he was going to be on. Not a problem. My question is, I guess, the love life. I've been in a relationship for 3 years, and I 100% think that he's the one and all is moving forward. We do have distance between us, so it really can't go to the next level until I make a move, which I'm working towards doing. But I just wanted to see your feeling on it, if it's still looking good, if there's marriage and kids involved and all that good stuff.
Okay.
Okay. If you want to go on,
I'm going to
pick a card from you. How many piles would you like me to cut the deck into?
I'm sorry, both of you guys were talking. What was that?
I'm going to pick a card for you, but I just want some input from you. How many piles would you like me to cut the deck of cards into so I can get a card for you? Two, three, four?
Two is fine.
Okay, perfect. Here. Okay, well, the card that I picked is just a beautiful card that just says that... It positive energy. And I think what I'm sensing here, what this card means, is and what I'm getting from spirit, is that there is everything is going really smoothly until you start thinking about it. And then when you think about it, it's like, oh, is this the one, or this, or this, or this? You know, that's where you start, you know, you lower the vibration of the experience. And you, by you creating some fear, you know, then that creates fear, you know, and it's sort of diminishing from the overall experience and having somewhat of an impact on the relationship. So I would urge you to, you know, stay in constant contact with, you know, your guys, and, you know, to accept reaching out to the shows and getting the input that you need to keep your vibration at a high level, and, you know, diminish the fear that you have about this situation, because the more energy is put into these doubts, the doubts suddenly become fear, you know, and that becomes, you know, and it's all energy, and it lowers it and lowers it and lowers it. So really, that's what the mermaids are saying, that to just surround yourself with positive people, and you know, and the surrounding yourself with positive people does not mean that this partner is not a positive person. It's just that you need to be around people that will help you keep your vibration up, so that when these, you know, thoughts and questions come into your head, you'll be able to deal with them very quickly. Oh yeah, of course I'm thinking that, but you're not going to act on that. You will and then I feel that the answers as far, you know, it'll strengthen your relationship and experience. And with that, I'll turn it over to Inez. What are you feeling?
Okay, I'm going to pull a few cards for you now. And I have the sense that you are, that you're feeling ready to marry, and that you're feeling a desire for that. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, not necessarily today,
but
we've been together
in the next couple of years.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. And we've been through every trial and tribulation known to mankind, I feel.
Uh-huh.
So,
what are your birthdays?
Mine is 9/15/89. His is 12/24/77.
Oh, great. I have the sense that that this is something, if you do decide to go forward with it, and I believe that he is going to propose at some point, but I see that it would be very fulfilling that he truly loves you. I'm looking at the Ten of Cups, which is really about having that really top, incredible family life, love. It's really one of the happiest cards in the deck. And it's in the place of how the past affects the near future. And I see the Justice card here. And I do feel in this case, this is about that contemplating marriage. Is he thinking about it? Is it coming? And then the Outcome card that I have is the King of Cups, which is very much about really opening your heart to that love, and it's about the love that he feels for you. So my sense is that, you know, I'm feeling very affirmed by it. I do have to say something, though, that I'm only able to stay on for the hour, so...
yeah, that's what I wanted to remind everybody. So I think that that, of course, that was another bit of information that I did not have. So if we just want to wind up this call, and then for those of you
okay.
that are in the
Great.
Queue,
thank you so much.
We'll go for will go for a little bit longer. And I know now that you and I have gotten to know each other a little bit. But before next week's show, we'll plan this out a little better. And we've got a lot of people in the queue to spend a little less time talking. But it's really important for me to talk because I've never met Inez before. So I really need to get that whole group going so we can get the show back on the road. So we're going to let you run.
Okay.
You're not late for your next engagement. And we'll talk more between, and for those of you who are listening, Inez and I will be back together next Wednesday night starting at 9 o'clock. And Greg, thank you for helping in the chat room. And I am going to stay on till 9:30 and do a few more readings for the people who are in the queue. And I'm going to have to ignore the chat room. So, Crystal,
I think Greg will be able to stay on
the
chat.
So Greg will be able to. Okay. Great.
And
I so enjoyed spending time with you.
Yes. I love spending time with you, and I love spending time with all of our guests. And I just want to say it's really been a lovely experience, and I look forward to next week. Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay,
and we'll talk before then. And everybody who's listening, thanks for bearing with us. We're trying to get this. There's been a lot of changes in the psychics gone wild. So, okay, but that all said, our caller got, so now we still have, hold on, let me just get my bearings, because we have, someone just said they were, okay, I just have to get, okay, so our next caller is Cynthia, and could she tell me she was in the chat room? I hear you.
Hi, how are you?
Cynthia, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I got in a little bit late, so I'm not sure what we're talking about tonight.
We were just talking about all sorts of stuff because we're just trying to get the, if you're a regular listener to Psychics Gone Wild, it's been those changes, this, that, and Inez and I were going to do our first show together tonight, but I was traveling, so we hadn't connected, so her and I just talked about whatever, and we've just been doing a couple of readings, but then she had to go on to another show because she thought we were only doing a show for an hour, but I have mermaid cards here, and I'm doing mermaid card readings if you do have a specific question, or even if you don't have a specific question. So did you want to ask the mermaids a question, or did you want a general reading?
Just a general reading, whatever you think, wherever you see.
Okay, let's see. I just have to get a little readjusted here because everything changed with her leaving and me having to go back to doing some of the administrative stuff here for a second. I just want to get back more and raise my vibration a little bit so that my spirit guides and your spirit guides and everybody, heaven and nature and everything will participate in this reading. So what I've usually asked the callers to do is tell me how many piles they would like me to cut the deck so that you can help participate in picking the card. Right, 2, 3, 4, just tell me how many piles. Okay, perfect. Do that. 2, 3, 4. Okay, and then And here. Okay. The card that I pulled is the card of protection. Is it you and your loved ones and your possessions are safe and protected by heaven? So what that is telling me is that you are not currently in a position where you're really doing more of the protecting of others than being protected or feeling that you're not being protected. If you can spend some quiet time, it doesn't have to be hours in meditation or anything like that, but if you can just make sure when you're feeling overwhelmed or underappreciated or underloved or any of those things, to make sure that you raise your vibration. Sometimes what I do when I get like that, because I'll get in that mode an awful lot of times, and I just like get Just feel so overwhelmed. Try to, like, envision breathing through your third eye in the middle of your forehead and out through your heart and in through your third eye, like you're creating a cycle up there. And then pay attention and look for signs, because your angels and your loved ones who have passed over all of the heavens are trying to send you signs and messages, and sending just, you know, big beams of love and support, and have your back. But I'm sensing that you're so busy, distracted by all of these day-to-day responsibilities and obligations and being a protector as opposed to being protected, that you are missing those signs. So they're really calling out to you to just, you know, if you can just stop yourself two or three times a day in the middle of feeling overwhelmed, and look, and, you know, you'll see something else. There'll be a bird, or there'll be a dime, or, you know, they're sending you very subtle messages, but because you're so busy and going in so many directions and moving so fast on this physical plane, that you're just walking, you know, you're just walking right by them, and then feeling feeling a little underprotected. So I don't know if that helps you with anything that you're, if that resonates to the situation you're in, but that was indeed the card that was pulled. If you have any questions, or, you know, did you want to ask something? If we
I do receive pennies and dimes and nickels and birds.
It's crazy. They do that all the time. And any, and then, you know, if you, once you do that, and this is about, you know, because the dead people, I mean, I hate to talk so bluntly, and I just mean that as a loving term, are so much nicer to me than the living people. And I'll feel so, like, just exploited, you know, my mother and my work and my this and my that. I'm going to send me the dimes, and it'll just stop, and I'll just laugh. They want us to laugh, and know that we're loved. So, you know, when you see the dimes or the pennies or whatever it is, one of the things I do is, you know, move a little further into, you know, because their ability to make those things happen all has to do with energy. So, when you, something like that happens, take the time to stop. You know, feel the energy. See if you feel a little tingle. See if you feel, mm-hmm. put your hands, mm-hmm. you know, you can feel, put your, you know, I kind of do this like in the middle of work or something, or, you know, in a large crowd, put your hands in, you know, and put your hands. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll just put my hands out in front of me, and I'll start feeling the tingle, and then I'll see how big I can get the tingle to go, and I've sort of turned that into a game. Like, that's how big that they love you. And, you know, the whole world, everyone's so busy, and people are so fear-based right now because there are so many needs are going unmet that a lot of the living just are not in a position to give us the love that we need. But, you know, those who have gone ahead of us, and the angels and all of those people, they just want us to feel loved. And we go searching and we go reaching out to people, you know, who are also feeling unloved, looking for love. And it just helps me so much, because when I'm, you know, I'm taking care of my aged mother and this and that and this and that and, you know, all this stuff. And I just feel like no one cares, you know, and everyone at the end of the day feels no one cares. So if you can just, when you get those little experiences, play with the energy, because that means they're right there. That means they're right there, and they will make you laugh, you know. And even if it isn't real, it's, you know, even if you don't believe, if they can make you laugh and they can lighten your heart, that's really what, you know, that's really what the goal is, because they really, it happens at the dimes. Every time I get in my car, I just find dimes everywhere, and I'm still trying to get to the bottom of how they do it. have them at. They do it with the energy. I mean, you think about the dimes. Those are sort of the lightest ones to, you know, you never really find, like, the top dollars and things like that. And they just want the messages. They just want us to remember how much they love us. And sure, they can't go to the store for us. They can't, pick the winning lottery numbers for us and all those kind of things, because those things are, you know, our free will is responsible for. But they can love us so much more than any human being, any being that's still in a body can love us at this point in time. And that's not because they love us more. It's just when we have bodies, we are too busy trying to feel love. We don't, are not able to give as much. We're just not able to do it when we have bodies as much as we can, when we have wings and or have shed our earthly challenges. So really, that's what they want you to know, that is, they're sending signs, and that it's not just signs, but they have your back, and they're working for your highest good. So when you feel isolated or exploited or things like that, just look for the signs and then stay in the energy of those signs for long enough to feel love. Because if you just go, oh yeah, there's a bird, must be that, we don't feel the love. But if you just stop for a split second and sit in the energy of that experience, you will then feel the love and the protection that the heavens just shower down on us. So, thank you for calling. We've got a couple more callers. Please make sure Inez and I are going to be doing this every Wednesday night. We're getting back in, up and off the air for a while because there were so many changes. They were just too confusing for me. I said, I'm going on a little hiatus, but we're going to be back every Wednesday night. So, give us a call back. Feel free to call into the other shows. And thanks so much for your patience. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. You have a nice night.
You too, Cynthia. Okay. Our next caller, who's been on hold for over a half hour, is area code 253. 253. I have to say we've got 253, 856, and 310, and those are all the callers we're going to have time for tonight. So anyone who calls in after that, we will have to give you a reading on one of our other shows. But area code 253, are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello?
Who am I speaking to?
This is Becky.
Hi, Becky. How are you?
Fine.
Good, good. Well, thanks for calling. Do you have, Inez had to go. She thought we were doing an hour show, but we're actually doing an hour and a half long show. Do you have a specific question for the mermaid cards?
No, I don't. I just want to see what you see.
Okay, let's see. Oh, thanks, Ben. How many piles would you like me to pull the cards in to pick a card?
How about three?
Okay. Okay. I know, I can't believe that we haven't. Things have been so crazy. I barely recognize your voice. We used to talk all the time. But this is a fun show. I don't know if you were here when Inez was on the show. She was fabulous. So Becky is one of my, and Becky's going to be on the show really soon with her new sidekick, Gwen. She, when I was doing my old show, she won, I think because no one else was listening, opportunity to work with a friend of mine, Glenn Cakely, who really works, uses hypnosis and the laws of attraction to teach people to just turn into manifesting maniacs. And my widow friends, and she was looking for love in all the wrong places and calling Blog Talk, asking all the dead people, where's my man, where's my man? And Glenn came into her life, my former coworker that we used to do something totally different, and he's taught you how to manifest, right?
Yep.
And
that's all within
me. You've just been manifesting up a storm. So we're going to have Glenn. It was kind of like one of those six-week challenge kind of things. So now, or, you know, the Biggest Loser. But you didn't lose. You're like the biggest gainer. So we're going to have her and Glenn on the show in a couple of weeks, talk about Glenn's book and talk about Becky's experience. But just from being a friend and talking to her, I can tell you that whatever she learned from Glenn, I don't know those things yet because she is just doing great.
Just
so anyway,
tell you, he was amazing.
Yeah, he really empowered. Because that's the key, you know. So many of us, and I'm just as guilty as everybody else. And you know, I'll call these shows. What's going on? You know, looking for readings, looking for answers. When all the answers truly are within ourselves, and we can have whatever we will have, whatever our hearts desire. And it's so interesting. The card that I pulled up is the card of the healing heart. And I think really that is the process that Becky went through just from watching her is healing her heart. For, you know, being a widow myself, I can tell you there's nothing that could prepare you for it. It kind of feels like you're a victim of a crime. It kind of feels like you're ripped off. You know, it kind of feels like, and then it kind of feels like the whole world owes you, owes you things. And we go chasing after, just want our old lives back. They're not coming back. And I think that Becky's journey truly has been. It says, you are now a powerful healer. Keep up the great work. Now, this just could not be, you know, this is when I know that these cards are not an accident. Because that is exactly the journey that Becky has been on for the past couple of months on and off because Glenn went to China and, you know, whatever else, all sorts of things. But you have now officially graduated. It says you are a powerful healer. Keep up the great work. And, you know, and as far as that card goes, you know, whether that means that you're going to go, you know, get a healing sign and hang it out and become a healer, open, you know, or whether it means you're going to, continue doing your same job and, you know, your same title, but being a healing. Is that you are, from having done the work, you're not going to sound, people are going to believe you when you make suggestions. It's not going to sound like you just went to Walgreens or whatever the drugstore is called out there and gotten a bunch of cheer-up cards and pouring Pollyanna, happy thought, sugar on things. You're going to be, when you tell someone, well, perhaps you should do that, they're going to believe you because they're going to sense and see the change that has overcome you. While you probably still look the same in that you don't have any fewer or more gray hairs or wrinkles or didn't gain any weight or lose any weight, I'm sure that when people see you, they see a totally different person because what we put out into the world is a result of what emanates from our heart. And so many of our hearts, especially when we've experienced a great loss, are really damaged. They are damaged and they are hardened. They have barnacles on them. When we experience a loss, we all feel like we're owed something. You know, if you lose something, that's why we have insurance. You know, we're all set up like, you know, if when we're little kids, I lost my, you know, when my kids lost their phones. I would never say, you're just going to have to do without a phone for a while because you lost your phone. I'd get them new ones or I'd get insurance. And, you know, when people lose things in storms, we have, you know, a whole government system that we seem to think that when we lose something outside of ourselves is going to give us more stuff, whether it's more love or more men or more, you know, more iPhones or whatever. And the journey that you have been on, you Like I said, I mean, it's a healing heart card. It all it says, simple thing. You're a powerful healer. Keep up the great work. So hopefully we'll talk with Glenn and find out when we can have you two on the show so you can share it. But really looking for,
okay.
I haven't even had a chance to catch up with you to find out, you know, all, I know a bunch of good things are happening. I just don't know all the gory details. And I, like I certainly knew all the gory details when we were both wallowing widows because we would just sit there and commiserate about all this stuff. So I'm glad that you got a chance to call in. And now we have 5 minutes and two callers. And so I'm going to try to zip through these real fast because it is going to shut off right at 10:30. But real quick, do these power readings. 856, are you on the air still? Thank you for holding so patiently.
No problem. How are you?
I'm good. Been a little bit crazy since we were just getting all this stuff back again. But how are you doing tonight? Do you have a question for the mermaid?
Sure. If you pick up any relationship or anything like that.
Okay. Let's cleanse the cards a little bit here because we've been asking them a lot of questions. And I just try to, again, everything is energy. I just try to move the energy, but we also have to do this quickly. How many stacks would you like me to cut the cards so that you can participate in picking the cards? 2, 3, 4?
Two, if you like, if it makes it quicker.
Okay, perfect. Yep. Ooh, wow. This is interesting. Funny because the cards are just always, there's just so much. This is a beautiful card of, and if you look up Doreen Virtue's mermaid cards, it is called the soulmate relationship card, and it's these two dolphins, and there's just blue light, and it's just so beautiful. And it says that there is a new romance, meaning romance means romance, like, you know, not just love, you know, love and romance are two different things. With spiritual basis is here for you now. So there is a person. Are you in a relationship now, or are you wondering about your current relationship, or you're getting ready? You're looking
thinking
for.
About a,
right,
thinking about
that's
someone.
Exactly what, yeah, that's what I was sensing. That's what I am sensing. That's what I am sensing is that even if you are in a relationship right now, that it is not your current relationship. It is a new romance with a spiritual basis is here for you now. Now, spiritual basis, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to meet them at church or that you're going to meet them at yoga or, you know, it just means that it's going to be someone who you're going to know it's them. You're going to know it's them because you're not going to worry about that. You're not going to be like, oh, I wonder if he's going to call or not call. You're either going to, he's either going to call or you're not going to care because you're going to feel safe. You're going to laugh because things are not spiritual if they're not funny. And you're going to, your heart's just going to feel, your heart's going to feel lighter. So the thing is that those are going to be the things that you experience. It might not be the person. It might not be the person. We are so frequently drawn to people that we're attracted to, you know, where, you know, it's more of a physical type of thing and our soul twins and things like that. And there, those things are very real. But those relations and those relationships can teach us very, very important lessons. But they come with very high prices. So please call in again because I really want to get to, we've got like 60 seconds and I'm moving to 310. Thanks. We have 1 minute, but let's go real quick. And did you have a question for the cards? Hello? Okay.
Hello?
310, gone. Oh, are you there?
Hi.
Okay, we only have about 30 seconds, but Amy, do you want to ask the card something really?
Yes.
If you want to ask
yes,
the card something really quick, and then stay in the chat if we get cut off, I'll tell you the rest of it in the
no,
chat.
No, it's okay. I'm just wondering if tomorrow I have some work goals I need to reach. I'm wondering if I'm going to reach them.
Well, it says set your sights higher. Increase your standards and expect more from yourself. Don't settle. So that's telling me that you are going to meet them. You're feeling that you're not. You feel like you're not because you're feeling that, you're feeling insecure. But get in touch with your confident self, and you will. Definitely, you definitely will, because that's just no accident that with that many seconds left that that's the card that came up.
Thank you so much.
A clear message. So good. Call us back soon, and we're out of time. Thank you, everybody, for being flexible as we try to recreate the show, and we'll be back next Wednesday and look forward to y'all being part of it because the callers are just as important as the readers and the energy workers. So thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.